The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Well, we all were waiting on what the State Infrastructure Bank was going to be saying about 526. And they have actually decided now, I am shocked about this. This is so unlike the SIB. They are actually postponing the discussion until the next meeting. Here is the actual audio last night from the meeting there at the State Infrastructure Bank. Yeah. Now that's them. Yep. Just kicking the old can down the road. Chip Limehouse said things didn't go as well as they could, but we're still in the game. And we're getting a little tired of the game, aren't we? He says, I think as long as we don't vote to terminate it forever, I'm happy with that. Limehouse says he's still hopeful about the 526 project. The SIP board was expected to talk publicly about it last night, but they held a private meeting, an executive session. They were behind closed doors for nearly 2 hours. I wonder why they were in executive session on this, because executive session, I don't think really covers everything. I think maybe we need to have a little more transparency as far as some of these meetings are concerned. I would like to know why the decision was made to kick the can down the road for the completion of 526. They had promised $420 million for the completion, and they left it up to Charleston County to come up with about $380 million. But what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to actually show that we've got that funding, I think, before the SIB will go ahead and tell us that they're going to go ahead with the project. And I don't know if we have been able to successfully do that here in Charleston and Charleston County. So more kicking the can down the road by the State Infrastructure Bank. That's beautiful. That's exactly what we want, right? Inaction. Inaction. As long as you can just keep stringing it out. Just keep stringing it out and just keep dangling that carrot. Well, we'll talk about it next meeting, I promise you. Well, how long have they been waiting to discuss this thing? Jeez, it's frustrating beyond belief. The wheels, not only do the wheels of justice turn slow, the wheels of progress seem to turn pretty slow.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
I just think the American people had better understand what's going on. This is a bunch of scumbags. That's what they are.
Those are very strong words.
All organized around making money.
And those were the words of Maxine Waters, who is, by the way, heading to New Hampshire this weekend. Now, why would a legislator from California be going to New Hampshire, do you think? Why would she be making that trip, do you think? Oh, that's right. She's going to try to run for president of the United States.
Let's hope so.
I'm very concerned about this. Oh, my. If Maxine Waters runs for president, then surely that will be the end of Donald Trump. I really hope that they do not run Maxine Waters for president.
The Trump killer.
Oh, woe is me. That would be the death knell for the Trump administration if Maxine Waters were to run for president. She has got so much baggage on her. I don't even know why she thinks that she stands a rat's chance at being the president of the United States. Really, could you just, I mean, listen to this. Could you imagine this at the State of the Union address?
I just think the American people had better understand what's going on. This is a bunch of scumbags. That's what they are.
Those are very strong
all
words.
Organized around making money.
Yeah. Oh, making money. This is a woman who for the past 40 years has been in government but lives in a $4.2 million mansion outside of her district in California. Oh, this is a woman who lobbied herself to stop an investigation into minority-owned banks and their failure when she failed to disclose that she and her husband were actually shareholders in a minority-owned bank. This is the same woman who, time after time again, has been voted one of the most corrupt politicians in Washington. Why she is still in office, I'll never know. Of course, I do know that because, you know, she's She panders to her base. Chris is out in Somerville, wants to talk about 526. What do you think about their kicking the can down the road last night, Chris?
You know what? That is just a perfect example of government versus private sector.
Yeah.
If 526 was handled by a private entity, it would have already been completed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it's just, you know, it happens all the time. Government starts something and just for whatever reason can't complete it.
Yeah, it's very frustrating for us down here in the Lowcountry.
If the government was building your house right now, you could probably move in 10 years.
Yeah, probably right. At a cost of about, you know, $100 million, it would have made that sale on Kiowa, that home at $15 million, it would have made that look like, you know, peanuts.
Oh, exactly, exactly. I mean, this is just an example of why they shouldn't be in health care, why they shouldn't be in a lot of areas in our life. You know, of course, 526 is going to be government run because
it's
taxpayer funded. But, I mean, just the inept of government, I mean, it's on full display every day.
Oh, yeah.
And for us, all we have to do is look at 526.
That's right. I appreciate it. Thank you, Chris. Now, let me give an example of government. Now, we're going to go to Canada for this example real quick, but I think it also relates to how we do things here in the United States. There was a park up in this little town in Canada, and it had a kind of a steep bank on it. And the older people that were trying to access this park, when they would try to walk down this steep bank, they would slip sometimes. And this guy said, you know, they all got together and said, listen, we need some stairs here for people to be able to access this park. So the government got together there in Canada and they said, all right, we're going to build you. And well, actually, they said, OK, we're going to build you some stairs there and be able to get down to the park there. So that would be great. So they came up with a price tag of $65,000 to put about 10 steps on this staircase. Well, this guy in Canada said, I'm not having any of that. So he and his neighbors got together. They built this staircase for $500. $500. That is a $64,500 reduction in what they were going to spend. You know what that town's going to do? They're going to tear it down and rebuild it their way. That's beautiful. Hey, Canada, you're becoming more like America every day, eh?
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
There are reports out that if you are a coffee drinker, it could increase your lifespan. I like that. Except for right now, I'm looking at my coffee cup and I am out of coffee. I need to get some more very, very soon. Speaking of coffee, there's a company called a Grand Prairie, not sure where this thing is. Anyway, there's this coffee company that is recalling its coffee that it produces because it contains a substance similar to Viagra. Oh, how about that? Best Herb Coffee, or Best Herb Coffee, LLC, voluntarily recalled all of its new of Kopi Jantan Transitional Natural Herb Coffee, what a name, after the U.S. Food and Drug Administration found desmethyl carbodenophil, which is structurally similar to the active ingredient in Viagra. The FBI also found out that it had undeclared milk in the ingredients. Now, some of the people were purchasing the instant coffee for use as male enhancement. But the undeclared ingredient might interact with some prescription drugs, may lower blood pressure to dangerous levels, according to the FBA. I'm sorry, the FDA. The milk could also pose a risk to people with an allergy or sensitivity to it. The FDA issued a warning about the coffee last year, which they said was part of a growing trend of food or dietary supplements with hidden drugs and chemicals that are often represented as being all natural. Best Herb distributed the coffee nationwide from July 2014 through June 2016. Now, no illness has been associated with this coffee whatsoever. So, again, if you have any of that, so they're recalling this Best Herb coffee, the Kopi Jantan coffee, because they say it contains a chemical in it that is similar to that in use in Viagra. So they're recalling that. So if you have any of this coffee laying around the house, you need to send it to Charlie James, 4230 Faber Place Drive. I'm just trying to perform a public service here. That's all I'm doing. I'm giving you a clearinghouse that if you have this coffee, you could, it'd be easy to turn it in. I'll make sure it gets where it needs to go. So 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up, we have got some tickets to give away today to Hank Williams Jr. He's got that show coming up tomorrow night out at Volvo Car Stadium. Also, we got tickets to go see the River Dogs play. You don't want to miss out on that. That's going to be a fantastic game coming up. And Sunday, of course, they've got the Georgia State Patrol is going to be taking on the South Carolina Highway Patrol in that softball game to benefit Special Olympics. So that's going to be pretty cool. You can get special discount tickets to that right now. If you wait until, Sunday to show up at the game, you're going to have to pay the regular price. So you can get those discounted tickets, and that goes to benefit the Special Olympics of South Carolina. So it's a great deal there. I'd love to see what our law enforcement officers, how they're taking that. All right, coming up next, there was a 911 call that actually reported that the canvas on the Don Holt Bridge was structurally unsound, we'll say. We'll have that story for you coming up next on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA.
If it's being talked about in Charleston, it's being talked about here. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James. WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Good morning. It's 7:52, 8 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Glad to have you along with us on this Friday morning. We certainly do appreciate it. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. As you know, from time to time, I do voiceover work for certain commercials, and my agent sends me jobs and things like that. And she just sent me one. This is an emergency. I've got to do this right now, and I hate to take time away from the program, but I've got to get this commercial done. So if you don't mind, just bear with me a second, and I'll go ahead and cut this commercial real quick and send it off to my agent. Here we go. Have you or someone you love recently been trapped on a bridge? Have you been cast into darkness by a falling tarp? Have you suffered serious psychological or emotional trauma by being covered in canvas, a condition known as canvasophobia? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, you may be entitled to a cash settlement. Call the law offices of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe for a free consultation. Get the money you deserve. All right, there you go. We'll send that off to the agent, and they'll send me a check minus their 10%. So I will guarantee you the lawyers are lining up now because of what happened on the Don Holt Bridge the other day. Now, we did have reports that there was a driver who called to warn about this tarp on the bridge.
I just want to report the Don Holt Bridge, where they have covered it up. The top cover is flapping. That thing could come completely loose and hit cars and cause havoc and live loss. There's nothing that a policeman can do. You need to get a hold of the highway department and the crew.
All right, so that was the call from this motorist who was going over the Don Holt Bridge there between North Charleston and Daniel Island on Sunday. That was Sunday when he saw what he described as an accident waiting to happen. He was watching this tarp, and it was flapping around in the wind. Of course, then we had that strong storm come through, and the accident did happen. This safety net broke loose and fell down on cars. It was up because they were painting the bridge, and they were trying to keep things from falling onto the roadway. Well, the thing that was keeping things from falling on the roadway fell on the roadway. Now, this motorist called in about 3:45 in the afternoon after driving across the bridge. We just heard the call. He was talking about the canvas had come loose, was bouncing up there in the wind, and sure enough, it came loose. Here's a 911 call from the bridge.
911, what's the address of the emergency?
Yes,
I'm sitting on top of the Don Hall Bridge. I'm on the, in a big truck, and this net just came down on my truck.
I'm okay for now, but, I mean, my car is totaled.
That one took everybody's surprise. It was a 5.5-hour trip to get home.
So, yeah, some people, 5.5 hours. So, bum, 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 bum. As we were telling you yesterday, you know, sometimes accidents happen, especially when you got a big storm coming through. And, you know, some things just can't be helped. You know, life goes on. However, now that we have found out that somebody had reported this, that this tarp was up there just flapping in the wind. And, you know, I'm looking on Sunday. I don't even know if did we have high winds on Sunday or did we not? This woman named Big Sealy, I believe that's how you pronounce it, on Twitter said, I just said last week that the bird net on the Don Holt Bridge was going to fall. Should have listened. Stacy Hurst, Hurricane Matthew, watch me shut down Charleston. Tarp on the Don Holt Bridge, hold my beer. There you go. Some people are taking about 5.5 hours to get home. But I think, like I just said, we're going to have some lawyers lined up to... All of a sudden, you're going to get people with psychological damage. They're going to have post-traumatic stress disorder. They're going to be looking for a huge cash settlement there. But then again, you have to look at it. They were warned. Somebody called in and said, this is going to happen. And nothing that we know of was done about it. Now, if they did something about it, they need to let us know pretty darn quick. But when I was, like I said, you know, when I was managing communities, if somebody called in and said, hey, Charlie, we've got a little bit of a sidewalk that's kind of crumbling here. Somebody's going to trip and fall. You guys need to do something about that in the common area. Then guess what? Now the responsibility is on me to take care of that situation because it becomes a liability. Now, I may have, you know, you could walk by this thing and it could be over off on the side and be just a little bit of concrete that's crumbling or whatever, and you may think it's no big deal. You may just overlook it because you're looking at the bigger picture, but if somebody calls in and says, hey, this could cause an accident, then it automatically becomes a liability, and it automatically becomes your responsibility to take care of this problem. And I don't think this looks too good for the DOT or whoever they pass this information along to. I don't think it looks very good for them. And I think, like I said, I think there's going to be some lawsuits. Certainly, they're going to have to pay for the cars, right? Now, I don't know who's responsible right now. I don't know if it's DOT or if it's this company out of Ohio that put the tarp up. Now, the tarp is up. What is their responsibility for maintaining that tarp and making sure that it's... It is in, you know, that it's safe for motorists. More on this coming up. Also going to be talking more about the investigation by Robert Mueller into President Trump.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
All right. You think we got problems with our elections here in the United States? You think we got problems with people who are formerly deceased coming back from the dead and voting? Well, it may actually be happening in Papua New Guinea. They're having some troubles with their general elections. They've been delayed in one province following the accusations of sorcery. That's right, sorcery. According to Radio New Zealand, recounts have been ordered in two constituencies in the country's East Sepik province because more than one candidate has alleged that witchcraft has been used to remove their votes from ballot boxes.
I just think the American people had better understand what's going on.
Yeah.
This is a bunch of scumbags.
That's right.
That's what they are.
Those are very strong words.
All organized around making money.
That's right. That's right. Sinister forces are at work, much like we have here in the United States. The radio says that priests have been asked to pray over the boxes to shield them from sinister forces. Now, this isn't the first time that superstition has affected this election. Back in April, officials had to reassure church leaders that their country was not being signed up for the number of the beast after it emerged that 666 writs had been signed to initiate the poll. So they said, oh, it's the mark of the beast. So anyway, they're expecting witchcraft in the elections over there in Papua New Guinea. I'm sorry, what was that? Do we have witches running for president in the United States?
I just think the American people had better understand what's going on.
Right. Yeah.
This is a bunch of scumbags.
Yeah, maybe we ought to get some exorcist in there and do that. Of course, Maxine Waters going to New Hampshire this week. Now, why would somebody from California head out to New Hampshire? Why would a politician do that? There's only one reason. She's going to be running for president. Oh, I hope she does. I hope she does. I hope she does. And I hope this woman, Kamala Harris, out in California, runs for president, too. That would be absolutely beautiful. Now, there was a poll out that that said that Kamala Harris, who nobody has ever heard of before. Understand that the vast majority of Americans, if I were to go down to Marion Square right now and take the old microphone down there and ask all of these folks down there, have you ever heard of Kamala Harris? The first thing I would hear would, leave me alone, I'm trying to sleep. The second thing I would hear is, no, I have never heard, who is Kamala Harris? I have no idea who that woman is. But there's a new poll out that says she and President Trump are neck and neck for the 2020 campaign. And then we find out that this poll was weighted 77% in the favor of Democrats. They polled 77% more Democrats than they did Republicans. Well, that's nothing new. We all have seen the results of these polls. In fact, we saw them all throughout the 26th campaign, and the actual numbers came through on November the 8th when we found out that they were grossly understating the popularity of President Trump.
WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Coming up tomorrow night, Volvo Car Stadium, Hank Williams Jr. in concert. I got a pair of tickets to give away to you right now. 556-1250 is the number. That's 556-1250. I will take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. You will win a pair of tickets to see Hank Jr. and Volvo Car Stadium. If you've never had the chance to see him in concert, this is it. It's going to be a fantastic show. Fantastic venue there at Volvo Car Stadium. Absolutely beautiful. So caller number 7 right now will win these tickets to see Hank Jr. in concert at Volvo Car Stadium. Coming up at 9:06, around then, we're going to be talking with some folks from MUSC about glioblastoma. This was the brain cancer that Senator John McCain was diagnosed with recently. Let's go to the phones right now and say, hey, who's this?
Gerald Feely.
How are you, bud?
Awesome.
All right, man. Congratulations. You're caller number 7. You just picked yourself up some tickets to go see Hank Jr. in concert.
Nice.
Yes, sir. It is going to be a fantastic show. Congratulations. You enjoy that. Going to put you on hold. John Quincy is going to get some information from you. It's going to be a great show out there at Volvo Car Stadium. What a great place to see a show, too. Absolutely wonderful. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Of course, the news last night was this. I don't understand what President Trump is thinking sometimes. I really don't. And I know a lot of you feel the same way. Why would you give an interview to an organization that does not like you? Why would you ever? It's like I always, when these Republicans go on The View and things like that, it makes you wonder, what are you doing? Why are you even going on that show? You know you're not going to be welcomed. You know you're not going to be treated fairly. You know you're not going to be, given a fair shot. Well, President Trump Wednesday spoke with 3 New York Times reporters, Peter Baker, Michael Schmidt, and Maggie Haberman. He gave an exclusive interview He gave an exclusive interview there in the Oval Office. Hope Hicks was there, White House spokeswoman. At one point, the president's daughter and advisor Ivanka Trump appeared at the door and her daughter, Arabella, entered the room. But I don't understand what Trump is thinking by granting interviews. I don't know. Does he think he's ever going to get a fair shake? If you are going to stand up and say time after time again that the media is unfair to you, then why the heck grant them an exclusive interview? So in this interview, he said that he was very upset with Jeff Sessions and the fact that Jeff Sessions recused himself from the Russian investigation. And he said that if he'd have known that Jeff Sessions was going to do this, then he wouldn't have appointed him as attorney general. So it's just, it's kind of mind-boggling to me that the president would do this, especially, you know, attacking Jeff Sessions the way he did. And even just giving this interview to the New York Times when he knows it's going to be a hit job on him. So I'm not, like I said, I'm not real sure what the president was thinking in that case. But we are hearing that the president is talking about Robert Mueller and this special investigation that's going on as far as the Russian collusion and obstruction of justice is concerned. Now, when you appoint a special prosecutor, that's what they are there to do. That is why they have that name, special prosecutor. They are looking for something to prosecute. That's their objective. It's kind of like when a consultant comes in to your company, they're not there to tell you how great you are. They're there to tell you what you're doing wrong. And it doesn't matter what you're doing, they're going to find something that you're doing wrong in order to justify the money that you are paying them, because that's what you're paying them for. The American people are paying Robert Mueller to prosecute. And he's not going to stop until he does. And that's got a lot of people very concerned, because the scope of this investigation is now going beyond Russian collusion and possible business dealings with the Trump administration and Russia. But now they're expanding it, which I don't think should be allowed, but they're expanding it to all aspects of not only the president's life, but also his family. Everybody. If you're under investigation by a special prosecutor, holy cow. I mean, this is what brought down Bill Clinton. Remember the Bill Clinton, that was a whole Whitewater thing, and it ended up with him and Monica Lewinsky. That's how that whole thing came about. We'll talk more about this coming up. Right now, John's in North Charleston, wants to talk about that tarp on the bridge. John, how are you?
Yes, good morning. I think this is going to be exciting 4 years, I can tell you that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, definitely.
I can't wait till he finds Robert Mueller.
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy. You,
Charlie, if you're on vacation, you got to come back.
It's going to be like a nuclear bomb goes off if he fires Mueller.
That's going to be funny. But you made a statement. You said that they were warned of the impending disaster about the tarp.
Right.
And so somebody should be held accountable.
Yeah.
Now, do we not do that every day to our elected officials?
Yeah.
And do they listen to us? No.
No, no, no. Of course not.
So, but they're going to want to hold accountable that private contractor.
Mm-hmm.
And those citizens who called in, because I heard you play the calls,
yeah,
want remuneration for if they incurred some damages, right?
Yeah.
So why don't they hold our elected officials to the same standard?
Oh, because it's the difference between the government and the private sector. I mean, here's what I think.
Yeah.
If they knew that this tarp was flapping our government officials, they should be the ones held responsible. Now, if they took action and said, hey, we got to get this done, then that's one thing. But if they just let it flap in the wind, so to speak, they should be held accountable.
1250 WTMA. The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
You're a low risk to reoffend on our guidelines. You have community support and stable release plans. Considering all of these factors, my vote is to grant your parole effective when eligible.
Thank you.
And I concur with Commissioner Korda and grant parole.
I concur with Commissioner Korda and agree to grant parole.
We believe that we're a fair board. We believe that we're a consistent board. We do not
look kindly upon parole violations. Mr. Simpson, I do vote to grant parole when eligible. And that will conclude this hearing.
Thank you.
All right, with that, the juice is loose. Did you hear what I said? I said the juice is loose. I just made that up. I just coined that.
Well, the juice is almost loose.
The juice will be set loose. The nuts. Juice will soon be on the loose.
The juice will be loose.
The juice will be loose.
The juice is 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 loose.
The judge let the goose loose.
Or the juice, who's that bonehead? Who's that bonehead? The goose is loose? I don't. Well, anyway, OJ Simpson getting parole yesterday after spending 9 years on the charges. Now, this had nothing to do with the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson or Ron Goldman. This was another incident that happened out in Las Vegas several years ago, 9-10 years ago. This is kind of interesting. OJ said he has had a conflict-free life.
I've always thought I've been pretty good with people, and I've basically spent a conflict-free life. You know, I'm not a guy that ever got into fights on the street and with the public and everybody. I'm not a guy that has conflicts on the street. I don't expect to have any when I leave here. I've always been a guy that pretty much got along with everybody.
Uh-huh.
And I realized in my 9 years here that I was a good guy on the street. I'm sure when Bruce gets here, he'll tell you I was always a good guy. I'm no danger to pull a gun on anybody. You know, I never have in my life. I've never been accused of it in my life. Nobody's ever accused me of pulling any weapon on them.
Well, unfortunately, the ones that they could do that are no longer with us.
What about all those domestic disputes the police were called to with Nicole Brown?
That's
Simpson?
Right. No, he's led a conflict-free life.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Apparently, according to his definition, that's not a conflict. I guess I'm not sure what his definition of conflict-free is, but certainly it doesn't jibe with the vast majority of Americans. I don't know. I really don't know how I feel about this. Now, I think the guy spent, for the crime that he committed when he went into that hotel room in Las Vegas and demanded his quote-unquote property back, I'm just got to look at it. I mean, 9 years was probably enough. It was between 9 and 33 years. What kind of a sentence is that? You're going to serve somewhere between 9 years and infinity, and somewhere between there we'll give you parole. But I think 9 years, if he were not O.J. Simpson, if he were not acquitted of the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, if he had not been found liable in that wrongful death lawsuit by the Goldman family, I don't know if he would have got 9 years for what he did. I really don't. I think his notoriety probably entered into a lot of that. But remember, he was found not guilty by a jury in the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman.
O.J. Simpson is a murderer.
Okay, that's fine. And you can say that all you want to. However, he has not been found guilty of murder. Now, that's the only thing that we go by here in this country is the rule of law. And innocence and guilt are really legal terms. I just wonder the legality of somebody calling O.J. Simpson a murderer.
O.J. Simpson is a murderer.
Okay, fine. Since he has been found not guilty. And to me, I just wonder if you've got, if he has some legal recourse when people call him a murderer. I don't know. I know Tucker threw that out several times last night on his show, but Alan Dershowitz probably gave O.J. Simpson the best piece of advice that he could ever give. Lead a quiet life. Just simply go away. You are free now. They will probably let him live in Florida. We'll see what happens with that. But he's trying. He said he wants to live to move down in Florida. Now, remember, he still owes a ton of money. I forget how many millions of dollars that the Goldmans sued him for and won. However, his pension from the NFL, they can't touch. That is legally protected. They cannot touch that pension that he gets from the NFL. So he will have money to live on for the rest of his life, But anything else that he earns, any reality show, which, God, I hope he doesn't do that, any book that he writes, any what have you, they will be able to go in and get that money, but they can't get his NFL pension. So Dershowitz gave great advice to the Jews last night. Basically, sit down and shut up for the rest of your life.
Exactly. And if you haven't watched The People versus O.J. Simpson,
yeah.
Highly recommended. I think it originally came out on FX.
Right.
And it's on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good... I think the producers tried to make it fair,
right,
where they showed both sides of the story. But that is a fascinating miniseries, I think about 10 episodes.
Yeah, it held us all captive watching that trial. It was amazing. So, of course, Dershowitz was on O.J. Simpson's defense team. What did they call Dershowitz? I'm trying to think of the name of it. Anyway, he was basically the guy they hope they don't have to go to. He was there for the appeal. He was basically going to be the lead appeal attorney. So, but he was the guy on standby, and he was the guy they hoped they never had to go to for his defense, and they didn't when he was found not guilty by that jury in the killing of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman. So somewhere out there, I know that the real killer is shaking in his boots this morning, knowing that the juice is loose. And the search will continue.
WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Looks like the folks over in Mount Pleasant can rest a little easier this morning. The state health department has found no evidence of pesticides in Mount Pleasant water after they sent several samples to Indiana lab for analysis. At the request of some of the residents in the area who expressed their concerns about that the water could be giving their children cancer. So they conducted some. Now, some of these residents over there conducted some home tests that you can get at Home Depot or wherever for about $8.75. And these tests for some of these people came back positive for pesticides. So they said, hey, something's got to be done about this. Even Erin Brockovich said that she still wants more answers from the Mount Pleasant Water Department. Well, I wonder if this is going to satisfy her curiosity, seeing as how this Indiana lab has returned all of these water samples from Mount Pleasant, and all of them tested negative for pesticides. Now, of course, these lab tests are a lot more advanced and more reliable than the at-home things that you can buy, like I said, at Home Depot. So DHEC has repeatedly stated that there is no evidence of a cancer cluster in Mount Pleasant, and the agency responds to about 50 requests for assessments every year. The last true cancer cluster in South Carolina was identified in the late 1990s, and they say they can be difficult to pinpoint, but they do look into the claims of that. So no pesticides in the water in Mount Pleasant, as DHEC got these tests back yesterday. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. I tell you, you look at our society these days, and it just makes you shake your head at how people have become. There was this server, and I was an employee of McDonald's in Virginia. Last week, a couple, it was a police officer and his wife, went to the drive-in, the drive-up window there, the McDonald's in Virginia, and they were getting their order. Well, according to their Facebook post, the employee just kind of shut the door and walked away and said, "I ain't serving no cop. I ain't serving no cop. I ain't going to serve no cop. No pig coming up in here." I'm paraphrasing here. But according to the Facebook post, that employee, has been fired, and rightfully so, after the franchise owner was contacted about the incident. The owner also issued a statement of regret. Frida Thornton, the franchise owner, said in a statement on Tuesday that her restaurants are dedicated to serving all customers. Says, "We regret this situation as it goes against our standards of providing providing a welcoming experience to everyone, and we have taken the appropriate action to resolve the situation, Thornton said in the statement. How much you want to bet this was probably one of those people that marched in that Fight for 15 movement? Oh, there you go. So, and this is even, now that's a bad story. That is a bad, bad story. This story, even worse. Even worse. A group of teenagers down in Cocoa, Florida, literally stood by and watched a disabled man drown. Not only did they stand by and watch a disabled man drown, they videotaped it. Not only did they videotape it, they mocked him while he was drowning. I was going to play the audio from this, but it's so stomach-churning that I decided I didn't even want to hear it. This guy, Jamil Dunn, 32 years old, drowned in a retention pond on July the 9th as teens recorded the drowning and did not bother to help him. They recorded it on their phone, but they didn't use the phone to call 911. Now, wouldn't you think that a right-thinking human being seeing someone else drowning would at least offer help? The minimum that they could have done to help Jamil Dunn was to use that phone that they were videotaping his death with. Just simply dial 911. Hey, we got a guy drowning at a detention pond out here. You need to send some help. So this guy drowned on July 9th as teens recorded his ordeal, did nothing to help him, didn't call the police. Dunn's body wasn't discovered for 3 days, according to Florida Today. The video the police called disturbing surfaced online. And then they posted the damn thing online. And then they posted it online. So police were like, hey, wait a minute, what is going on here? He started struggling and screaming for help, and they just laughed. They didn't call the police. They just laughed the whole time that this guy was screaming for someone to help him. The kids were in the park that day. They were smoking pot, and they saw him walk into the water. He walked in on his own, they say. They were watching him. Dunn walked into the water, struggled as he drowned, and the teens watched. They even started taunting him as he was doing, get out of the water, you're going to die, one of them said. Ain't nobody fixing to help you, dumb blank. Another one was heard shouting more things. And then finally, one of them said, oh, he just died. And then the group of teens broke into laughter. Yep, that's where we are. So police were informed about the video after a family friend of Dunn saw the footage on social media. Authorities say they interviewed the teens but did not charge them as they broke no law, they say, even though their actions had no moral justification. They went on to say, while the incident depicted on the recording does not give rise to sufficient evidence to support a criminal prosecution under Florida statutes, we can find no moral justification for either the behavior of the persons heard on the recording or the deliberate decision not to render aid. That's it. That's what you got there down in Florida. These teenagers showing up to smoke pot in this park with a retention pond. Somebody's drowning. They don't. Not only do they not do anything to help him, they mock him. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. These people, these. Oh, I will guarantee you, they need to keep a record of who these kids were, because I promise you, felonies are in their future if they haven't already committed felonies. I will promise you, these kids aren't going to grow up to be fine, upstanding members of society. They're going to turn out to be thugs and animals and pariahs that are going to help further destroy society. That's what you've got there. These kids, this is a serious mental disorder that these kids have. And we're talking about any lack of a moral conscience. No conscience whatsoever in these kids. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I will guarantee you they're going to be spending time in their future behind bars. They're going to get the orange jumpsuit and the flip-flops. I promise you that's in their future. Because you can't stand by and watch somebody die and do nothing about it without having other things wrong in your life. I promise you, they've got a long, hard life ahead of them.